You are listening to audio from Redeemer Church in Midland, Texas. Redeemer Church is a gospel-centered missional family. If you would like to get more information or donate to this ministry, please visit www.redeemermidland.org.
All right, good morning again, church. I hope that you're blessed by that time of worship. And I know that our lead pastor, Jason Hatch, has been leading us through a series in 1 Peter, which has been phenomenal and timely. But we're going to take a break from that this morning, and I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 28 through 30, just those three verses, and this is just one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. I am so excited and so honored to be able to spend some time with you in it today, and I just think every word in these three verses is saturated and dripping with God's grace and gospel promises that are very timely for us right now. So let's pray and just ask that the Lord would bless his word to our hearts this morning. Lord God, we love you and we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. And I ask, Lord, this morning that you would open our minds, open our hearts, that we might understand it better, that we might know you, that we might grow in our love for you and our love for one another. God, that we may be able to approve of the things that are excellent. God, that we may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. God, that we may live our lives for the glory of your name. I pray that you would make it so this morning. God, I pray that you would help us to see just the beauties and the glories of these promises, this invitation that you give to us this morning. And I just pray that you'd be glorified in everything that's said, God, and in everything that happens, the people of Redeemer this morning, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this verse, we find what I think is the greatest invitation that you or I or anyone could ever receive. It's an invitation from the Lord Jesus himself to come to him and to follow him for rest. It's a wonderful, wonderful invitation. But I want to begin by telling you a story that fascinated me recently. It's the story of the most missingest man in New York in the history of New York City, and actually probably the most missingest man in America. It's a story about a man named Joseph Force Crater. And so Joseph Force Crater actually became a judge in New York City in the early 20th century, like in the 1920s. He became a judge in New York City by some less than honest or less than noble means, by paying some bribes and things like that. And he served as a judge there in the 20s until on August 6th, 1930, Crater, dressed in a brown suit and a tall white starched collar, bought some tickets to a New York show, and he went and had dinner with some friends at Haas's restaurant in downtown Manhattan. And then he walked outside about 9:15 p.m., said he hailed a cab, and he got into a cab, and he was never seen again. So it's a fascinating story. Some thought he committed suicide. Others thought it was mob activity. And still others thought that he was a victim of a political crime because he was a member of like this secret group where they were paying bribes and doing some shady things. And shortly after his disappearance, that group got outed and a lot of his friends lost their political careers. So they thought he may have been a victim of some political murder. The only clue that investigators had was something that his wife, Stella, found shortly after his disappearance. So shortly after August 6th, when he disappears, never seen again, she finds an envelope in her home dated August 6th, 1930. And she opens the envelope and she finds it stuffed with cash, equivalent to about $75,000 in today's money, and a short note. And all the note said was, "I am very weary. Love, Joe." That's all that it said. Nobody knows what exactly he meant by that. Nobody knows if it was a suicide letter or a goodbye letter. But we know that that was 90 years ago and nobody was ever found. So the epitaph of Judge Joseph Force Crater is this: "I am very weary." So let me ask you today, are you weary? Like, are you burdened? Are you tired? Are you exhausted mentally, spiritually, emotionally? I want you to know there is rest for you this morning. And we're gonna see this in Jesus' invitation. He offers us true rest. He invites us to himself to follow him, the only place where true rest can be found. It's the greatest invitation that anyone could ever receive. So let's read it together this morning in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is what the Lord himself says. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. What a wonderful promise this morning. So this is what we're going to do this morning. I want to look at the context of this invitation, the greatest invitation that's ever given. I want to look at the context of that, and then we're going to see exactly what the invitation is, what it consists of. I believe it consists of two parts. And then we're going to look at the reasons why Jesus gives us that we should accept this invitation in its fullness. So first, the context, the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew is a fascinating gospel. Of the four, I would say, as just a piece of literature, it's the most wonderfully put together. Matthew has an introduction, and then he has five alternating blocks of narrative discourse, where he's telling the story. Matthew is telling the story of Jesus' life, and then he's giving us the discourse of Jesus' teachings, and then he alternates that through. And then, of course, he has the conclusion of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So it's just a phenomenal gospel. It's mind-blowing the way Matthew put it together. But here in chapter 11, we see Jewish opposition against Jesus really increasing. So Jesus is beginning to claim that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, who's come to save God's people from their sin. And he's showing that with the mighty works that he's doing and the miracles that he's performing. And the Jews are beginning to increasingly more and more reject and oppose those claims of Jesus. And so in chapter 11, we see towards the end here how Jesus responds to this opposition that's growing against him. And it's fascinating. He begins by pronouncing judgment against cities where he performed his most mighty miracles. So it's Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. And he pronounces judgment on them. He did his mighty works there. They had every reason to believe in Jesus, and they still rejected him. So he pronounces judgment on them. And then he says this in verse 25. If you look at verse 25 with me, it's fascinating. He says this. It says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will.'" So as opposition is mounting against Jesus, as Jesus is being rejected more and more, he pauses, surrounded by a crowd of people, and utters a prayer out loud to God, thanking God for the mystery of salvation. Like thanking God for the mystery of his sovereign grace. This mystery where the wise and understanding, those who we think would definitely get it, the wise and smart people, they'll definitely understand that Jesus is the Messiah and trust in him. They don't get it. And yet the people who we think least likely to get it, they'll never understand it. They do get it. Jesus pauses and thanks God out loud for his sovereign grace. And then he says this. In verse 27, then he turns to the crowd, no longer praying. Now he's speaking to the audience around him. And he says this, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So again, a clear declaration of God's sovereignty in salvation. Jesus is being rejected and opposed, and so he utters a prayer out loud, thanking God for his sovereignty and salvation. Then he turns to the crowd and declares that God is sovereign in salvation. And then that brings us to our passage today. Our passage today where he invites all who are weary. In the very next sentence, he invites all who are weary to come to him for rest. So we see as Jesus is being opposed and rejected, this tension between God's sovereignty and salvation and our responsibility to accept this invitation from Jesus. Just a fascinating passage of scripture, I think. And so what we're going to see, that's the context of it. Now we're going to look at the invitation itself, and we're going to see that it has two parts, this invitation from Jesus. First, it's an invitation to come to Jesus and trust in him for salvation. And then second, we're going to see it's an invitation to submit to Jesus and follow him in discipleship and sanctification. So the first part, the invitation to trust in Jesus. In verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Before Jesus invites someone to take up their cross and follow him, he simply invites them to come to him. He says, come to me. So I want to ask three questions about this first part of the invitation to trust in Jesus. It's like, what is it? Who is it for? And what are the results of it? Very easy. If we look at the passage, we'll be able to see this. First, what is it? It's a call to come to Jesus, very simply. Jesus says, come to me. Notice he says, come. He doesn't say, go do this. He says, come to me. He doesn't say, go to the law of Moses. He says, come to me, because he knows. He doesn't send us anywhere else. He bids us come to him because he knows he is the only one who can fix our problems. A few years ago, my wife and I bought a used Ford Expedition. It was an older model Expedition, but it had low miles, so I thought we were getting a good deal on it there. And we had owned it for a few months, and I noticed that the engine was missing a little bit. Notice it had a little bit of a misfire. It wasn't running real smooth. And so, like any good man, I Googled it to see if I could fix it myself. And as I Googled it, I found that this particular year model, when it hits this mile marker, it needs the spark plugs changed. So I thought, well, that's easy enough. I'm no mechanic, but I think I could probably figure that out and change the spark plugs. But thankfully, I kept reading and I came across some forums that said, this particular year model, when it hits this mile marker, these spark plugs are in danger of being, if you try to change them yourself without the right tools, you can break off the spark plug in the engine. And then it becomes a multi-$1,000 job because they have to remove part of the engine, and just a small fix becomes a giant nightmare. And so I thought, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna call around. And so I call a mechanic, a little mechanic who runs his own shop, and I tell him my problem, and he says, bring it to me, I can fix it. He says, come to me because I can fix that problem. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, come to me. See, our greatest problem, the greatest problem of mankind, is we are born separated from our God, our Creator. And Jesus knows that he is the only one that can reconcile us to him. So he says, come to me exclusively. Come to me alone, not go to anyone else or go to anything else, but come to me because I can fix that problem. I can reconcile you back to God. So that's what it is. It's a call to come to Jesus. Now next, who is it for? This is interesting because he doesn't just say, come to me all. He says there's a condition. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. So it's not come to me all, it's come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. That word labor, it speaks to the exhausting effects of work. So it speaks more to the effects of work than the work itself. I like the way the NIV translates it weary. So come to me all you who are weary. And then heavy laden just speaks to the being overloaded. You have too much weight on your back, you can't carry it anymore, you're overloaded. And Jesus is not talking about the exhausting effects of physical labor and being overburdened by a physical burden. He's talking about the exhausting effects of carrying around the burden of unforgiven sin. He's talking about carrying around the guilt, the guilty conscience, the shame, the misery that comes with the knowledge of knowing that your sins are not forgiven. He's talking about the spiritual exhaustion that comes from trying to earn your way to God by doing things, by always trying to be good, but never knowing how good is good enough. He says, come to me. That's who the invitation is to. I think the Pilgrim's Progress gives a wonderful picture of this. It's an old book, but it's been redone recently. They made an animated version of it in a movie form in 2019 last year. Highly recommend it. It's really good. But it's just a giant allegory. And so everything in the story represents something in real life and in Christian life. And the main character of the story is a man by the name of Christian. And the story starts out with Christian sitting at a table reading a book. And the book is the Bible. And as he's reading this book, he becomes aware that he has a giant, heavy burden on his back. And that is his sin. And the first half, the entire first half of this story is Christian's desperation to get this burden off of his back. And that's just a wonderful picture of who this invitation is to. It's those who are aware of their sin and who are desperate to get that burden off of their back. The invitation is not given to those who think they're all good and think they don't need it. That's the wise and understanding. It's hidden from them. It's not for those who think they got it all together and don't need it. That's the cities where Jesus did his most wonderful miracles that rejected him. They didn't need him. It's for those who are weary and heavy laden, who know that they need a Savior and are desperate to be saved. That's who it's for. Now, thirdly, what is the result? Look at the result. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Literally, I will rest you. Rest is simply release from a burden. Jesus says, I will give you rest, not when you do something, but when you cease from trying to do something on your own and simply come to me and trust in me, I will give you rest. I will forgive you of your sin. All through Scripture, God promises those who come to him for salvation, those who fear him, his people. He promises them release from the burden of sin. He promised them rest from the burden of sin. And Psalms 103, verse 12, he says, for those who fear them, he takes their sin from them and casts it as far as the east is from the west. In Micah 7:19, we're told that for his people, God takes their sin from them and casts it into the depths of the sea. Wonderful promises of rest. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. We will not find rest from the burden of sin in anyone other than Jesus. Augustine famously said, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. And that is a true statement. We are made for him, and we will not find rest apart from him. So that's the first part of the invitation. It's come to Jesus. Come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So let me pause and ask you this. If you have never trusted in Jesus for forgiveness, if you've never come to Jesus for rest, let me ask you, do you identify with the words of Judge Joseph Crater? Are you very weary? Like, are you tired of carrying around the burden of sin? Like, are you exhausted from trying to always be good enough and not knowing what the standard of good enough is? Are you tired of guilt and shame in your conscience? Come to Jesus. Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice for sinners, and he invites you to come to him for rest. He did all of the work on Calvary. Just come to him and trust in him, and you will find he will give you rest for your soul. So that's the first part of the invitation. In verse 28, we see that we're invited to come to Jesus to trust in him for salvation. In verse 29, we're going to see that we're invited to Jesus to come to him and submit to him and follow him in sanctification and discipleship. In verse 28, we see the rest that he graciously, freely gives to all who come to him. And in verse 29, we're going to see the grace that we find as we follow him. So let's look at the second part of the invitation. It's an invitation to submit to Jesus. Verse 29 starts with two imperatives or two commands. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. It's command number one. And then he says, learn from me. That's command number two. So Jesus invites us to come to him for salvation. And then he says, and then submit to me and follow my commands. At first glance, it almost seems like the old bait and switch. Jesus is saying, hey, come to me and I'll take the burden off your back. I'll relieve you of that heavy load and all that work you've been doing. And then take my yoke upon you. I'll put my yoke on your back and I'll give you some work to do. But this is not a bait and switch. Submission to Jesus' commands is the most liberating submission that there is. It's what we were created for. Submission in today's world has some bad connotations with it, right? We hear that word submission and the modern person just kind of cringes, like, I don't like that. The modern American mind is one of autonomy, right? Like, I am about my freedom and my personal liberty. Like, don't tell me how to live my life. I view rules and regulations as shackles to be freed from. Like, submission to something is not very desirable for us. Let me just do my own thing. But we'll never find true freedom and rest in doing our own thing because we weren't created to do our own thing. So H.B. Charles Jr. says this about freedom and submission and rest.
He says, is a tree really free and at rest when a hurricane wind comes through and rips it from the soil from which it was previously in bondage? No, that tree was created to function and flourish in that soil. Is a train really free and at rest when it goes off the rails that were previously controlling it and guiding it? No, that train was created to function properly on those rails. And neither will we find freedom and rest in doing our own thing. H.B. Charles Jr. says, true freedom and rest is found in holy bondage to the purpose for which you were made. We were made, created by God, to enjoy Him and glorify Him forever. And coming to Jesus and submitting to Him is where that begins and where that is made possible. So this is not bondage. This is where true freedom and rest is found, in submission to Jesus's commands. So let's look at the commands He gives. He says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke was a wooden beam used to connect two work animals together, usually oxen. But it was also a metaphor used to refer to one submission to another, or one submission to another's teaching. The Jews would also often say the yoke of the Torah, referring to someone's submission to the law. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. So He says, attach yourself to me, submit yourself to me, attach yourself to me and follow me. And then He says, learn from me. Some translations say, learn of me. I think they're both right. Learn from Jesus, learn of Jesus. Jesus is both the teacher and the subject. Jesus is both the lecturer and the lecture. James Montgomery Boyce says this, this is the school, Jesus' school. This is the school in which every true believer has matriculated and in which a lifelong course of study is prescribed. So Jesus commands us, He invites us to come to Him for salvation, but then He also invites us to submit to Him and take His yoke and to learn from Him for the rest of our lives. And here's the problem with this, or here's, I'll say, my problem with this, is that sounds like a lot of work. That sounds like a lot of effort. Sounds like that's going to take a lot of energy. If I work out, I normally do that early in the morning. If I don't do it in the morning, it won't get done. And there's many mornings that I just want to lay there. And I think I'd rather just chill. I'd rather just lay here and not exert any energy and not put forth any effort and just enjoy my nice, warm, soft, comfy bed and not get up and just lay here and chill. And I think some of us, many, view Christianity that way. I think oftentimes we're tempted to view Christianity that way. Okay, I've come to Jesus. Jesus invited me to come to Him. I've come to Him and He's taken the burden off of my back. That's great. Now I'm gonna let Jesus take the wheel. Now I've got it. I'm good. I'm just gonna chill. I don't wanna exert any effort. I don't wanna put forth any energy. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I did it. I don't know about that submitting to Him as Lord, but Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest, and then submit to me and follow me as my disciple. So getting up in the morning and going to the gym, or getting up in the morning and going for a run or going for a walk, yes, it takes energy and it takes work and it takes effort, but it builds strength. It's better for me. So walking with Jesus and following Jesus and taking His yoke and learning from Him will take energy and it will take effort. But it will build strength. He will give you strength. So it is, may God give us grace to submit to Jesus and keep walking with Him and keep following Him. It is hard, but it will build strength. We'll be better and stronger for it. That's the second part of the invitation. He invites us to come to Him, trust in Him for salvation, and then He invites us to submit to Him and follow Him in discipleship and sanctification. And then, knowing His people will need some convincing, He gives us some reasons why we should accept this invitation in its fullness. After He gives the commands, take my yoke, learn from me, He tells us what His heart is like, and He tells us what life with Him is like. So reason number one why we should accept this invitation is the heart of Jesus. This is the only place that I'm aware of in the Gospels where Jesus Himself tells us what His heart is like. And how does he describe it? He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Gentle literally means meek, and lowly literally means humble. And meekness is power under control for the good of others. Meekness is being content with what God thinks about you and not always feeling like you have to assert yourself or assert your power or prove yourself to other people. Jesus says he's meek. He also says he's lowly or humble, which means just simply having an accurate view of one's own worth. So the first reason Jesus gives us to come to him and submit to him and follow him is because he's meek and humble, the master that we're invited to follow, to disciple us. The one that we would become a disciple of is meek and humble. He has all the power in the universe, but he chooses not to exercise it for the good of others. He has an accurate view of his own worth in God's eyes. He doesn't feel like he always has to prove himself to other people, and so he is set free to serve those whom he came to save. That's the master that we're invited to follow. And check this out, like as we learn of him, so as we sit in Jesus' school and as we have his yoke on our shoulders and we're following him, we will become more meek and humble. We will learn to become more like him. We'll be set free from feeling like we always have to prove ourselves to other people. We'll have an accurate view of our own worth in God's eyes. We'll have a sure identity, and we won't feel like we constantly have to defend ourselves or justify ourselves. And he says this. He follows that by saying, and you will find rest for your souls. So there it is in verse 29. This 28 is the rest that he graciously gives in salvation. And verse 29 is the rest that we find when we follow him in meekness and humility. There's a very influential book early on, my first few months as a Christian, that I read. It's by A.W. Tozer. It's called The Pursuit of God. And chapter 9 is titled Meekness and Rest. I want to read a portion of this chapter to you. It impacted me then. It still impacts me today. But this is what he says about meekness and rest. He says, the meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion or as strong as Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows that he is as weak and helpless as God has declared him to be, but paradoxically, he knows at the same time he is in the sight of God of more importance than angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. That is his motto. He knows well that the world will never see him as God sees him, and he has stopped caring. The old struggle to defend himself is over. He has found the peace which meekness brings. Like, may that be our motto. Like, may we find the peace that meekness brings. May we be set free from the burden of self-love and self-centeredness and self-justification, constant attempts to defend ourselves. And may we follow Jesus. May our heart be made like his heart, which is meek and humble. And may we find rest for our souls in that. And if that's not a good enough reason to submit to Jesus and follow his commands, he gives us one more. He says what life with him is like. He tells us in verse 30, very simply, all it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Life with Jesus does consist of a yoke and work to do, and it does consist of burden, but he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As I said earlier, the yoke was the wooden bar that connected two work animals together, usually ox. And they would never yoke a strong, old, wise ox with another strong, old, wise ox. They would never yoke a young, dumb, weak ox with another young, dumb, weak ox. They would always take an old, strong, wise ox and yoke it to this young, dumb, weaker ox, because the old, strong, wise ox would train and coach this younger, weaker ox. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy because I'm on the other end of it with you, walking with you, teaching you, training you, refining you. Where you find yourself ignorant, you'll find me wise. Where you find yourself weak, you'll find me strong. He says, I do have a yoke for you, but my yoke is easy. And then he says, my burden is light. First, notice he says his burden is light. It's not like the burden of the Pharisees. Later on in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 23, verse 4, Jesus refers to this heavy burden that the Pharisees would place on their people's backs. It says, this is what Jesus says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with a finger. Jesus says, his burden is light. He carries it with you. And he also says, it's his burden. Notice he says, it's his burden. The Christian life does come with burdens. We can't blame all of our burdens on Satan or other people or the world or whatever. Jesus says, it's my burden. Jesus says to the Christians that is yoked to him, that burden that you carry is my burden. I custom created you and custom created that burden for you to carry. But that burden is light because I am with you, helping you carry it. Like, how comforting is that to know? So may those reasons convince us to accept this great invitation today. I believe that's a timely passage for us right now. 2020 has been quite a year, full of a lot of bad news and a lot of hard and difficult situations for a lot of people. So I believe it's a timely passage for us right now. Let me ask you this, Christian. Are you feeling what Judge Crater was feeling? Are you very weary? Are you weary from all that's going on in the world today? Are you weary from all of the bad news, all of the division? Are you weary from all of the emotional effects that social distancing and isolation has had on us? Are you burdened and exhausted by some difficulty in life? Are you burdened with a job loss? Are you burdened with the death of a loved one? Are you burdened with an illness? Are you burdened with the burden of raising children and the difficulties that come with that? Are you burdened with singleness? Are you burdened with something that you feel like is too heavy and you cannot bear it anymore? Christians are not exempt from burdens and weariness, but we have Jesus in the midst of those. So remember this passage and keep walking with him. He will make you stronger. Stay close to him. Remember that it's his burden and trust that he is with you, yoked to you, walking with you all the way. And you will find rest for your soul. No matter what this life or 2020 throws at you, you can have rest for your soul. And also, Christian, let me ask you this. Are you weary from the burden of taking on selfishness and pride again and self-centeredness and the overwhelming task of always trying to defend yourself or prove yourself to someone? Are you weary from trying to convince everyone on social media that your view is the correct view? And then are you offended because of self-love when people don't agree with you all the time? Like, that is a burden that Christians are not exempt from taking and putting back on their shoulders and trying to carry that again. Pride and self-love and attempts to self-justify. And that is a heavy burden to bear. Are you weary from that? Christians aren't exempt from it. But we have Jesus here in this passage saying, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Follow me. Learn from me. Be meek and humble, and you will find rest for your soul. You'll never find rest trying to carry that burden. So are you weary? I think Jesus gives us this great invitation here to the weary. He says, come to me, all who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Like, are you weary? Go to Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you and we worship you as the sovereign God over all the universe. As Jesus, your Son, praised you, we thank you for your sovereignty and salvation. We thank you for your sovereign grace. God, but we also thank you for this invitation to all who are weary to come to Jesus for rest. God, may by your grace, may we see our need for this,
And may every believer understand the rest that they can find in following Jesus and submitting to his commands. God, by your grace, there are some who need rest from the burden of sin. I pray that you would show them that, God, and I pray that they would see that the only release from that burden is found in trusting in your Son for salvation. God, we need rest. God, there are many who need rest, who are carrying burdens, who are sick and exhausted and tired, and a year full of hard times and bad news for a lot of people, God. And I pray that we would see that all the rest we need is found in Jesus. And by your grace, may we accept this wonderful invitation to come to him. We love you and we worship you, God, for you are holy and worthy of all of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Redeemer Church. If you want to connect with us at Redeemer, we would love for you to visit us at a service in person or visit us online at www.redeemermidland.org.